This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning. It's the KABU News for Monday, October 23rd, 2006. A whole hour of news in just 30 minutes. I'm Del Walker.
And I'm Jake Wallner. A Washington County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed a man yesterday as the intruder was entering a woman's house.
And in Iraq, gunmen in Ramadi say the city is joining a nascent Sunni emirate. This year, Ramadan is ending on a note of violence and bloodshed such as not has been seen before.
Former Enron CEO is to be sentenced today. Portland area weather, patchy morning clouds, then partly sunny. Highs in the mid, 55 to 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows, 35 to 45. A Washington County Sheriff's deputy shot and killed an intruder early yesterday morning after he broke into a woman's apartment. Shocks with a taser and beanbag rounds failed to subdue him, and the deputy shot the man as he tried to reach for an officer's weapon. The fatal shooting is the second involving Washington County deputies in recent weeks, following the September 16th shooting of 18-year-old Lucas Glenn outside his parents' Metzger home. The man broke into a woman's ground floor apartment shortly after midnight at the Woodridge apartment complex in the 11900 block of Southwest Tualatin Road. The woman awoke to find him standing by her bed. A Tualatin police officer responded to the call, fought with the man, and fired a taser gun to shock him. To no effect. Next, a Sherwood officer arrived and fired beanbag rounds at the man, but they didn't slow him either. Finally, a Washington County deputy arrived. When the suspect ran toward the deputy, he also shot him with his taser. At that point, the man reached inside one of the officer's patrol cars and tried to grab a gun mounted at the front. The deputy shot the intruder, who slumped against the side of the car and reached inside again. The deputy fired again, and the man collapsed outside the car and died.
President Bush recently signed an act authorizing his orders for tougher CIA interrogations and military trials of accused terrorists. In the first action taken under the Military Commission Act of 2006, the Justice Department notified the D.C. Court of Appeals that the new law strips it and other courts of jurisdiction over the hundreds of pending habeas petitions filed by Guantanamo Bay detainees. Locally, Constitution watchers were quick to react. Willamette University law professor Paul Diller helped spearhead an effort among law professors in the state opposing the act while Congress still was deliberating it. In a letter, Diller addressed Oregon senators about the issue. Diller said, "There's little doubt the Supreme Court will hear a challenge to this law, but the process will take a few years." Other constitutional law experts agreed that suspending habeas corpus by claiming a time of rebellion or invasion creates a sticky argument, as habeas corpus is such a fundamental part of judicial relief. This from the Salem Statesman Journal.
In rural Washington states, some farmers are worried about a land use measure on the November ballot. The initiative would require state and local government agencies to either compensate private landowners for regulations that harm the value of private property or waive those laws. It's aimed at land use rules adopted since 1996. I-933's drafters chose the 10-year window, partly to keep the measure from being unwieldy if it becomes law. Officials say 1996 also is the year that farmland began taking a back seat to conservation concerns through changes in the state's Growth Management Act. Washington's initiative is similar to property rights measures on the ballot in at least three other western states, and has put farmers front and center in the battle for public opinion. The State Farm Bureau is the most vocal public supporter of the initiative, saying it will help guard against heavy-handed government regulations that could drive down property values and make farms and ranches unprofitable. Opponents, however, say the measure could compromise critical environmental protections and open up rural areas to voracious housing developers. Del?
Loggers used to drop a tree or two in the water to help coho salmon find shelter. But now that it takes as much as 6 months to get a permit to put large woody debris in a stream, salmon have less shelter. The Oregon Department of Forestry would like to make it easier for loggers to create habitat for salmon. The lengthy permit system of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers has stopped a lot of landowners from building the fish shelters. The logs are important for young coho because they spend almost a year in fresh water, meaning that they must winter over. Overwinter survival is quite dependent on stream complexity and reducing high water velocities. Coho are relatively weak swimmers. Gary Hart, forester for Justina Land and Timber, said private landowners would be willing to leave logs in the streams because they too like the fish. Log placement on about 13 million acres of state and private land in Oregon should resume early next year if the Oregon Board of Forestry approves the proposal.
In Washington state, Greens have played defense against the Bush administration with the tenacity and skill of the Chicago Bears. With less than 3 weeks to go until the November 7th election, the Green agenda is becoming a political groundswell for the Democrats. Nearly 800 people showed up for the annual Wake Up for the Environment breakfast, recently staged by Washington conservation voters. The event strives to be bipartisan, but the governing party in the other Washington was criticized early and often. A top priority is pushing cleanup of Puget Sound to the front of the nation's environmental to-do list. The feds have put vast resources into the Great Lakes and Chesapeake Bay. Bush administration stonewalling on global warming, extending as far as censoring hurricane experts, has generated a major bottom-up effort to curb causes of climate change. The left coast has taken a lead on greenhouse gas emissions. In California, GOP Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger recently signed into law a sweeping set of new standards. Washington and eight other states have followed, or soon will. California's lead in creating new vehicle emission standards designed to reduce greenhouse gases by 22% by 2012 model year. This from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer.
A Central Oregon deer that had become a bit too fond of Central Oregon residents, including chasing and licking one runner, was moved to the Three Sisters Wilderness area this week. The deer became well known when it chased a student at a cross-country meet in Redmond. Cascade Middle School 7th grader Kevin Cox was chased by the deer for about 10 minutes until the deer caught him, put his feet on his shoulders, and licked him. The deer was then spotted in and around Redmond from more than a month ago, and officials feared it had become too friendly. With the help of a veterinarian and an employee of the Humane Society of Redmond, the deer was tranquilized and loaded into a horse trailer Friday after being cornered on John Tuck Elementary School property in Redmond. Once inside the trailer, the veterinarian gave the deer an antidote to the tranquilizer before releasing it in the wilderness area. Jake?
Folks, it's our membership drive, and we want to thank you for choosing KBOO. What we need you to do now is become a member and join us in the struggle. It's 503-232-8818 in the local calling area. And if you're listening outside the Portland metro area, that number to call is 1-877-500-5266. And if you're streaming us on the web, we've got special things on our website and special things for you to get when you sign up. That's KBOO.FM. Let's go to the membership room and see how we're doing.
Good morning, everyone in KBOO land. The number...
The membership room is not ready for us, so we'll give you those phone numbers again. That's 503-232-8818. You know, we are volunteers here in the newsroom, and we come down in the mornings, and we work very hard to find the news that is not out there in the corporate media. And as volunteers, we've come in and we make sure that we get the news that is going to get you excited to listen and hear what's going on in your world, in your community. And the part that we need you to do is to pick up the phone and become a member and support us to come down here and bring you the news that you need to hear, the news that's not getting out on the other corporate stations. Let's try the membership room.
Good morning, everyone. The number is 503-232-8818. This is Marlene Howell, and I got up extra early this morning just to come down to the station here at KBOO so I could ask you to please join me in becoming a member. If you are outside the Rose City, the number is 1-877-500-KBOO. Here in Portland, it's 503-232-8818. And if you've got your computer on and running, take a look at www.kboo.fm, where you can also become a member just by clicking on Join Now. You know, there are a number of reasons to become a member, one of which, of course, is that you could receive a couple of wonderful thank you gifts when you call and make a pledge. For a $60 minimum pledge, which is just $5 a week, you could have a copy of the book Naked Republicans. Now, if that's not enough to get you running to your phone, I don't know what would be. So, Naked Republicans by Shelley Lewis for a $60 minimum pledge. It says, for the first time in one hilarious roundup, Shelley Lewis reveals the naked truth about the fiscal conservatives who want to spend money like they print it. So, if that's of interest to you, give us a call at 503-232-8818. Or maybe you want to know more about how the news is put together. Well, producer, pundit, and fairness and accuracy in reporting founder Jeff Cohen has put together a book called Cable News Confidential, a fast-paced romp through the three major cable news channels, Fox, CNN, and MSNBC. But you can't take a romp through them unless you romp over to your phone and call us at 503-232-8818. You know, KBOO is quite an operation. We've been here for over 30 years, bringing you the kind of information you don't get anywhere else in Portland or perhaps in very many places in other parts of the country. I came here from Kansas a number of years ago, and Rich is laughing at me. Our engineer's laughing at me. A lot of times when I say Kansas to people who are from Oregon, they laugh. I don't know what that arrogance is about, but that's for another show. Anyway, I came here from Kansas, and I was delighted to discover KBOO. If you are delighted to have KBOO coming into your home or into your ears whenever you want, you need to give us a call and help us keep that going at 503-232-8818. You know, I heard that over the weekend, one of the music shows brought in lots and lots of memberships. And I just don't know about you folks who listen to the news every day here on KBOO but are not calling. I think we need to show that the news can also bring in lots and lots of memberships. We have a low-income membership at $40 a year. We have a standard membership at a little bit more than that. But the point is, give us a call, 503-232-8818. Thanks a lot.
Former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling will be sentenced today for crimes that led to the fall of the one-time energy trading giant Enron. He could receive 20 to 30 years in prison and face millions of dollars in forfeitures. Skilling was tried and convicted with the company's former chairman, Kenneth Lay, but he will be sentenced alone. Lay died of a heart attack on July 5th, and his convictions have been voided because he died before he could be sentenced or appeal. The sentencing will be watched closely by investors who lost billions of dollars and employees and retirees who lost their jobs and life savings. This according to Reuters.
The Washington Post reported yesterday that Florida Republican Representative Mark Foley made friends with a wide circle of teenaged House of Representatives pages, then singled out hot boys to write to. The Post said it had identified four more former pages who said they were sexually solicited by Foley, who has resigned since the scandal broke last month. One former page, who was not identified, said Foley sent him emails when he was 16 asking about my roommates and if I ever saw them naked. Later, the former page said Foley hinted about a job opportunity because I was a hot boy, the newspaper quoted him as saying. Republican leaders have said they did not know about the explicit email sent by Foley before media reports, but a former top aide to Foley said he told Senator aides to House Speaker Dennis Hastert about Foley's behavior 3 years ago. The scandal has added to a growing list of threats to Republican domination of the House in next month's elections. This, according to Reuters.
A senior U.S. diplomat said the United States had shown arrogance and stupidity in Iraq, but was now ready to talk with any group except al-Qaeda in Iraq to facilitate national reconciliation. In an interview with Al Jazeera this weekend, Alberto Fernandez, director of public diplomacy in the Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs at the State Department, offered an unusually candid assessment of America's war in Iraq. He said that the U.S. had tried to do its best, but there is much room for criticism because undoubtedly there was arrogance and there was stupidity from the United States in Iraq. The question of negotiations between the United States and insurgency factions has repeatedly surfaced over the past 2 years, but details have been sketchy. One issue that was often raised in connection with such negotiations was the extent of amnesty the United States and its Iraqi allies were willing to offer to the insurgents if they disarmed and joined the political process. Fernandez spoke to the Qatar-based Al Jazeera after a man claiming to speak for Saddam Hussein's outlawed Ba'ath Party told the network the United States was seeking a face-saving exodus from Iraq and that insurgents were ready to negotiate but won't lay down arms. Del?
Muslims in America and most of the Islamic world begin celebrating the feast of Eid al-Fitr today, marking the end of their holy month of Ramadan. Ramadan can last either 29 or 30 days, depending on when the first moon of the next lunar month is sighted, so its beginning and end can differ slightly from country to country. For the past month, observant Muslims have fasted during daylight hours. Their three-day Eid al-Fitr holiday begins with early morning prayers, and large crowds usually gather at mosques. Families then celebrate with meals as well as treats and gifts for children. Jake?
Dan Bartlett, a high-ranking White House official, said today that the fledgling Iraqi government must step up and take more responsibility for the country's security. At the same time, Bartlett denied that the Bush administration's war policy has been a sweeping stay-the-course commitment, saying, "What we aren't doing is sitting with our heads in the sand." In contrast to earlier White House statements, Bartlett did not deny a New York Times report saying the head of the U.S.-led multinational forces in Iraq and the U.S. ambassador were working on a plan that for the first time would set a specific timetable for disarming militias and meeting other political and economic goals. Senator Joseph Biden, the senior Democrat on the Foreign Relations Committee, said, "I was amazed by the statement by Dan Bartlett that we always have been flexible." Biden told CBS that it's a civil war in Iraq.
Iraq's former finance minister says that up to $800 million meant to equip the Iraqi army had been stolen from the government by former officials through fraudulent arms deals. The former minister, Ali Alawi, told CBS's 60 Minutes that $1.2 billion had been allocated from the Iraqi treasury to the defense ministry to buy new weapons. About $4 million was spent on outdated equipment, while the rest of the money was simply stolen. Alawi said the arms fraud is one of the biggest thefts in history. Iraqi investigators are probing several weapons and equipment deals engineered by former procurement officer Ziad Khatan and other officials, including former defense minister Hazim Shalan. Shalan, a Sunni Arab who held the defense portfolio under former interim prime minister Iyad Alawi's government, has denied any wrongdoing. Most of the fraudulent arms purchases were allegedly made during Iyad Alawi's term.
According to a State Department poll, majorities of Iraqi youth in Arab regions of the country believe security would improve and violence decrease if the U.S.-led forces left immediately. The survey, unclassified but marked for U.S. official government use only, also finds that Iraqi leaders may face particular difficulty recruiting young Sunni Arabs to join the stumbling security forces. The poll has its shortcomings. Regional samples are small, and the results do not say how many people refuse to respond to questions. The private polling firm hired by the State Department also was not able to interview residents of Al-Anbar, a Sunni-dominated province and an insurgent stronghold. But the findings of the summer survey nevertheless provide a solemn reminder of the difficulty that the U.S.-backed Iraqi government faces as it tries to add ethnic diversity to its security institutions. Del?
In cities and towns across Iraq, bombers attacked crowds of holiday shoppers and insurgents massacred unarmed police trainees as shell-shocked Iraqis marked the end of the bloodiest Ramadan since the U.S. invasion. Islam's holy month will end on this week's Eid, the precise date being one of the many things that divide Iraq's Sunnis and majority Shiites after 4 weeks of slaughter that was ferocious even by Iraq's standards. Hundreds of Iraqis have been murdered in both sectarian violence and clashes between armed militia factions, while U.S. military casualties for October have already hit the highest monthly death toll of the year, 2006. In renewed violence yesterday, several bombs exploded in Baghdad, killing at least 5 people and wounding around 50, including children, medics said. One blast hit a bakery in the mainly Shiite suburb of Baghdad, Jadida, injuring 20 people who had come to buy sweets and pastries, the latest in a series of attacks targeting families preparing for the upcoming feast. This from Agence France-Presse.
Khartoum gave the top UN representative in Sudan 3 days to leave the country, marking a new low in relations soured by the row over the world's body proposed role in war-torn Darfur. Outspoken UN envoy Jan Pronk has prompted the ire of Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir's regime by criticizing its handling of the crisis in Darfur and pushing for the deployment of UN peacekeepers there. The row erupted last week, and Khartoum had so far stopped short of demanding his departure, but the military had on Friday made it clear that the 66-year-old Dutch diplomat was persona non grata in Sudan. The army said in a statement it considered Pronk's presence and movements in Sudan a military threat that adversely affects the performance of the armed forces. It complained that the envoy had traveled around Sudan without government permission and dealt with rebel groups fighting the military in the western region of Darfur. It also accused Pronk of waging psychological warfare on the armed forces by propagating erroneous information that cast doubts about the capability of the armed forces in maintaining security and defending the country. This from Agence France-Presse.
Several Israeli cabinet ministers called yesterday for a military operation to retake control of Gaza's southern border and prevent Palestinian militants from smuggling weapons from neighboring Egypt. Israel is engaged in a massive offensive in Gaza aimed at stopping Palestinian militants from firing rockets into Israel. More than 250 Palestinians, half of them civilians, have died. Palestinian government spokesman Ghazi Hamad denounced the proposal as a potential ruse for an Israeli reoccupation of Gaza, something Israel has said repeatedly is not in the works. Israel began its assault in Gaza after Palestinian gunmen in the territory abducted a soldier in Israel in a raid in June. Israel alleges that the withdrawal of tons of munitions, including advanced soldier-fired missiles, have been spirited into Gaza from Egypt through underground tunnels. This, according to Reuters. And now, more on our membership drive.
Hey, folks, guess what? No one's called yet. We have a goal to reach, and we still need $180 to get to that goal this morning. Now, I just can't believe that this whole newscast is going to go by without one person calling to say, I want to put my vote in for the KBOO morning news, because I know those folks get up at dark to come in and get a program together that is not interrupted by commercials, that tells me what is going on in the world, that tells me the stories that other newscasts deem not worthy of their interest. If you're interested in making that happen, give us a call at 503-232-8818. I just can't believe we're going to go through a whole half hour this morning and not one person call. You know, we have all kinds of memberships. We have low-income membership all the way up to all the money in your bank account and more. So we are very happy to work with you. We're very happy to talk with you about the options, but we would just like to start by talking with you. So that's 503-232-8818. You know, KBOO Morning News is a place where you can start your day by knowing what's going on, because you know this is a place where you're going to hear it like it is. If that's important to you, would you please give us a call at 503-232-8818 and tell us that, yes, I want to become a member. Yes, I want to be a part of this news enterprise, staying strong and growing, offering reporters opportunities to learn their craft, offering folks who talk to you on the air an opportunity to learn how to do that, and most of all, telling me the information I need to know. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO, or also on the web at www.kboo.fm. We have a variety of thank you gifts for you when you call, including News Junkie by Jason Leopold, Myth America, Democracy and Capitalism, 9/11 and the American Empire, A Power That Governments Cannot Suppress by Howard Zinn, a number of various ways for us to say thank you. But the biggest thank you, of course, is just getting to talk with you when you call 503-232-8818. We need at least three of you to call before this newscast is over. The best thing to do is to call while I'm talking. Maybe I won't have to talk as much and we can get back to the news. I mean, wouldn't you like to hear the news, folks? Instead of me, there's somebody calling saying, get Marlene off the air and get the newscasters back on. 503-232-8818. Who knows? I might have to start telling jokes or singing if we don't get more calls. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-KBOO. www.kboo.fm.
President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva has a big lead over his rival in the polls a week before the October 29th final vote in Brazil's presidential election. But a week in Brazilian politics is a long time. Two more presidential debates are scheduled. The federal police also said they would release new facts this week on the Dossiergate scandal that cost Lula a first-round win. Lula was expected to win outright on October 1st, up to the eve of the election day, when the latest of several scandals to batter the government reached a crescendo in the local media. After forcing the second round, his right-wing opponent appeared to have Lula on his heels in an October debate when he asked bluntly, Mr. President, where did the money come from? Lula has since won votes back, and it looks like he is heading for victory. This from Reuters and other sources.
Bulgarian President Georgi Parvanov won the most votes in the election, but faces a runoff with ultra-nationalist challenger Volin Sidorov on October 29th. Complete official results are expected today or tomorrow. Parvanov's strong lead brings him a step closer to fulfilling his dream of ushering his Balkan nation into the European Union in 2007. There will be no minimum required participation in the runoff, and the candidate who received more than half the votes cast will be Bulgaria's next president. Parvanov, strongly backed by his Bulgarian Socialist Party and Socialist Prime Minister Sergei Stanichev, and his re-election is expected to strengthen the party ahead of the country's accession into the EU. surging support for Sidorov disrupted the traditional battle between mainstream right and left that has been the staple of Bulgarian presidential races since the fall of communism in 1989. This from the Agence France-Presse. This has been the KBOOR Morning News for Monday, October 23rd, 2006. Thanks for listening, and thanks for becoming a member of KBOOR. You make all the difference. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Our engineer is Steve. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOR AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Del Walker.
And I'm going to make a correction. Our engineer today is Jeff. Thanks, Jeff. I'm Jake Wallner. We clear the air at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Corvallis at 100.7 FM on translator K264AA, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR.
Portland weather today, patchy morning clouds, then partly sunny, highs in the mid-50s to 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy with chance of rain, lows 35 to 45.
You can make a difference. Volunteer with us in the KBOOR newsroom. Pick up the phone and call Kathleen Stevenson at 503-231-8032, extension 202, or send us an email at amnews@kboo.org.
Coming up on your listener-supported volunteer-powered community radio,